I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Exclusively Eye Care, Major Team Mortgage, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avior Wealth Management, and Omaha Laser Dentistry. We appreciate their support. Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. And a special offer for F3 Nation PACs members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate. Now let's get back to The Gloom.
And we're back. Super excited for this guy. He's a mountain man now, but I got the chance to work out with him several times in The Gloom when he was here in Omaha. Was a site cue at Brickyard, though, into lifting heavy things. We share some former passions for substance abuse, and both in recovery, and have had so many good conversations. Was sad to see him leave, but also excited to just hear about the opportunities for his family as he moved out to Colorado. And if you haven't figured out, I've got Julep on with me today. Man, it's so good to see you. You look good. The beard's looking good. You got the buffalo picture in the background.
Huge Bills fan. So, one of my wife's aunts, she actually painted it, and I blew it up and made it a little bit bigger. And this is what people see when I'm at work, like, and we're having conversations. They just know I'm all business.
Yeah, going through the storm. It's a little intimidating back there, you know, just this big buffalo looking at you. But man, I'm excited to just get into your entire story. But where we like to start is just kind of that kind of story. Who got you into F3? And then would love to hear how'd you get sort of first impressions, of course, and then how'd you get the nickname Julep? I don't think I know that story, so I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Like, so F3, I had known about it, like, in its early forms and its, like, inception in Charlotte, North Carolina. Buddy lived right there in Charlotte on Montford Drive. His name is actually Montford because that's where he lived. So he had told me about it, and I was living in Alliance, Nebraska at the time, over in the Panhandle, and working for the railroad over there. And he's like, hey, check out this book, Free to Lead. And so I read the original book, and I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is something that I could get behind. I just started out here in Alliance, and my schedule, though, I started working at 5 a.m. So it was like, am I going to get people at 2:30 a.m. in this railroad town to, like, work out with me? And, in that time I was a good heavy drinker, So even me getting up that early was going to be like, I don't know if I really want to get up that early, So fast forward, my wife and our plan was to get back to Omaha. She was originally from there. So, started working in Lincoln, and, I got a transfer. And then, a few years into that, I ended up getting sober at one point, and, we can dive into that whenever you want, but, like, I ended up getting sober and, started, training for triathlons. And I had a passion for him, and I wanted to give him a go. Then we're at a family get together, and Razzle Dazzle is my wife's cousin. So, so he was like, "Hey, man, I do this thing called F3," and I'm like, "There's F3 here?" And he's like, "Boy, is there ever!" And so then I said, "Yeah, I'll come out at some point. I'll come out." And then it worked out to where my birthday was May 6th. Well, it is May 6th. And it was a Saturday, and I go out to the pit. And Fun Dip and Double Dip are running a beat down, and it's the Kentucky Derby day, so they're all excited about Kentucky Derby. Everything we did was Derby related, and there was a bunch of sprints. I am not a sprinter, and so there was a lot of pain, a lot of like lung burn that I hadn't had in a while. We get done with the beat down, and it was properly aggressive, you know, because those Saturday ones, they can just be real fun, or they can just be like really long and grueling. And, yep. I mean, I think we just went everywhere around Papillion. It was just, we were on all these side streets and stuff. And then I got in the middle, and I mean, there's plenty of ridiculous stories from my past that they could have asked about, but they were just stuck on this was all about the Kentucky Derby. So then somebody said mint julep, and then they were just like, "Julep, that's your name." And I'm like, "Perfect, I'm sober." So,
yeah.
yeah, that's how it started. And, you know, it's really, really cool experience, you know, to finally come out and get to one of the beatdowns. And it was exactly like I had hoped it was going to be. Mm-hmm. That was the wild part. It was like, I was hoping the guys were going to be awesome. Like I had read in the book, everybody's just good men, just getting together. And it was exactly that, you know, everybody's picking each other up. People ask me questions, getting to know me. I mean, yeah, you couldn't have asked for a better group of dudes.
That's awesome. I would be curious, do you see where does, like, when you think about fitness, fellowship, faith, where does the sobriety piece fit? Like, is it all three? What's that journey been like for you?
It's a loaded question.
Yeah.
it's 100%.
Let's get right into it.
yeah, let's get right into it. All right. I just got back from an AA meeting. So I'm an active AA meeting member. And so anyway, I got sober, and it was, and I needed something to fill that void of drinking. So I was like, that's when I said, well, I'm going to do a half Ironman. That's probably what you should do. So let's get to swimming. Let's get to biking. Let's get to running. I don't have any time to drink because I'm going to be putting, you know, so many miles on. So I dove in like head first, really, really hardcore into the fitness side of things with my sobriety. When I ended up getting my 1 year chip, the guy that gave me my chip, he was, he had said something about me in front of the group. And he was like, Justin needed fellowship. Is what he needed in his life. It wasn't, he needed the help to stop drinking, and he needed a, you know, a higher power in his life, but like he needed fellowship because like I took to AA, like just, I wanted to be sober and I wanted to meet these people. Their brains were just as messed up as mine. You know? So it was good. Fun conversations always ensued. And so like the fellowship part, you know, happened right inside of there. And then the faith came, you know, with it. It was one of those things where it was like, I had to, basically what it came down to was that I had to find out that there maybe was a God out there and I'm not it. And mm-hmm. as long as I remember that every day, that I'm doing pretty good. It's a decent day. And then from there, it's like my faith just, in my higher power has just been building and building and building. And it's changing and evolving and getting wonderful. So, you know, it all just falls into all three of them.
Yeah, I love hearing that, and I can identify with everything you're saying, because I think similarly, right? It's like, you know, early on in my journey, it was fitness was like the thing that was filling that void. I guess talk me through, like, you know, because one of the things for me, like F3 has not really ever been about the fitness, right? Like it's sort mm-hmm. of like it's there, and I love doing all the fitness stuff, but it's like the fellowship and faith that really keep me coming back. But from a fitness standpoint, like, how are you feeling today? Like, what's that journey been like? Like, obviously the first workout was a lot of sprints, but did you turn into a runner, or how's your physical health today?
I just was having this conversation with a guy the other day. I was like, I'm not a runner, but man, do I put on a lot of miles. Yeah. And it's, but then you just have to realize it's kind of funny because it all starts with like, no, I don't really run. And then you have one guy and I'm like, I love peer pressure and I love getting peer pressured. Like it's real easy for me to just say, sure, you know, I'll go do that. So it's like, you get these guys to be like, hey, you want to do a pre-run? It's like a 5K before we do the beat down. It's like, yeah, I mean, I'll try it. You go do it and you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Yeah. And then you go somewhere else and you're like, and then you start asking the next guy, you want to do a pre-run? And it's like, why? And it's like, I don't know. Just go do
it. And then you go do it and it
happens. And then it just becomes part of your thing where it's like, if I don't get the pre-run and I don't feel like I get full enough of a workout that I really needed to get in the morning. So like you talk about the fitness journey and it was like, yeah, I got to like doing more rucking and, you know, running Brickyard. It was one of those things where, and being on the east side, you know, there was a lot of pre-runs around Exarvin Village. So I would do, you know, I'd be climbing that hill, you know, every week. And then on Fridays though, I would just ruck. Cause I was like, this was the time for me to get some good fellowship with some of the guys where I would just, we would just hash it out, you know, everything that's going on. And we'd get our, whatever, a mile and a half or so, 2 mile in. And, so the pre things were super important. Cause I think that brought me to the next fitness level. Mm-hmm. And then you like fast forward to moving to, you know, over 8,000 feet in elevation and go get yourself a 5K and see how you feel. You know, so that was the first day that I ran, when I left my house and I went for a run, I looked at my watch because I was like, God, I must be 2.5 miles at this point. And I was at 0.6 and I'm like, why do I feel like this?
Just feeling it. Yeah.
So my fitness journey is almost like I hit a reset button. So there was a little bit of it that was frustrating because like I wanted to be able to get a 5K in and then go do something else. And it's like basically it turned into get 2 miles in and then go walk the dogs a couple times and see how that helps you feel. And it's been getting better and it's been getting like exponentially better. And then I go down to the Colorado Springs to do beat downs with them and they're 2000, a little more than 2000 feet below me. And I go down there and I'm just like running, no problem, like running circles. And they come up to me and they're gassed. So it's fun to see that it's just so different. It's just so different. I'm excited to get out to back to Omaha at some point and see what it feels like to be back down there. And
we're below sea level almost. No, not quite. But so I guess talk me through. So did you complete the Ironman before you did F3? And is that something you're still into today, or what's the latest there?
Yeah, I did the Ironman before F3 as a half Ironman out in Boulder. So that was outstanding experience. That pretty much changed my life into me accepting that it's like I'm an endurance person. Like I love a pain cave. Like just as long as I can just stay in it, it's wonderful. It's an outstanding thing. So anything endurance related, I really enjoyed. So from there, it's like this year I don't have any on the schedule, but in Omaha, they had a big series of tons of them and I would do them every year for, I mean, I think 3 or 4 years I did triathlons. Now that I'm out here, I need to find some more. But it was pretty cool because in the program in AA, I found some people that I EH'd myself, or they were getting EH'd by somebody else, and then I just kind of gave them that kick in the ass to get them the rest of the way over the line.
Yeah, heck yeah.
But so I ended up having Lance and West Ham. Those guys are part of a group. We made this team and we were going to start doing triathlons together. So we went down to Kansas City and we did a try together where I did the swim. Lance obviously did the bike, being Lance as he is. And then West Ham doing the run. It was really cool. It was like super awesome. Cause I had never done like the team triathlon stuff where all I had to do was just go out there and swim my ass, you know, as hard as possible.
We did
that one. We did, we took the gold at the Cornhusker State Games as a team.
Nice.
So that was pretty great.
That's awesome.
Don't worry about how many teams were involved, going against us. We took just the gold. Won. That's the most important thing that happened.
Oh, I love it.
So then I started to like, we were like, what's next? You know, what do we do next? So then we're like, let's go do an adventure race. And so we're, we're training for this adventure race, and it was going to be there's going to be trail running, cycling, and or mountain biking and kayaking, and we're like, no big deal, you know. We're not going to train at all for the kayaking because who trains for that? You know, it's just like, we don't have time for that. You know,
yeah.
Maybe I'll ride the bike a few times and we're running, we're doing F3, we're fine. We're in good shape. But there's orienteering that's inside of that. So you got to be able to read a map. And
oh.
Lance was supposed to be our orienteer. I'm supposed to be the backup. And both of us were like, I watched a couple YouTube videos. We could probably figure this out.
Turns out that's the hardest part.
Well, we got real humbled and we ended up getting lost pretty good a few times, and then we found ourselves in the woods just sitting there as the sun's going down with no lights or anything and being like, well, we need to call for a ride. Let's get some help. But it was a wonderful, humbling experience. And I don't remember which guy said it, but we're all sitting there and we're real quiet. It's like been like 40 minutes. I don't think anybody said a word to each other. We're kind of getting a little mad, you know, just like, so who had this on their bingo card? It's like, nobody. We just saw ourselves like going to the finish line and getting our awards and going to eat a bunch of pizza and be all good to go. But that was the thing that's the coolest thing about this was, like, I was talking to Frosty and he was chatting with me about the guys. And he's like, yeah, you and your shield luck. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, Lance and Sam, you guys have a shield luck. Didn't even realize we had one. Like, we didn't realize that's exactly what we were doing the whole time. You know, we just thought we were making this team called Rule 62 and it was all that. But it's like, come to find out, it was like there was this really deep bond between us that just, I mean, for me, AA and F3 just kind of, they came together at the right time and in my life to be able, you know, AA got me sober. F3 is the catalyst that just like launched me into a much better person that I am today.
Heck yeah. That's so cool. I, you know, it's interesting. And I love just hearing like all these different adventures that you sort of went on, right. As you're like trying to pursue fitness, but also like in the midst of it, right. You're like forming this cool relationship that didn't even realize what, as you think about, you know, sort of like, the fellowship piece, I am curious your thoughts. Cause there's, obviously, right? Like a lot of people refer to AA as like the fellowship or, you know, and so I think there's a lot of similarities there. But I would be curious, like so you've been in AA for a while, right? So you kind of had like some of the idea of why it's beneficial to have a fellowship, but how, as you entered the group in F3, how did you kind of start making friends or building those connections or building relationships? Cause when I've been around you, you just always have been open and willing to have deep conversations and just kind of like dive right into it. But is that how you started the group or how did that fellowship in F3 sort of progress?
But I've always been like a really outgoing person. Like, you know, I put a label on it, sure, extroverted. And you know, I've always liked, I get energy. I get fuel off of other people's energy, you know? And if I can get them a little bit amped up, then I get a little more amped up and, you know, animated. And I like to just be goofy. And, you know, that's why I say y'all all the time. It's like, and then other people start doing it too. And it's like, it's not like, I'm like, it's not mine. It's all of ours. We get to all y'all, you know, as much as you want. You know, and, we got the Colorado Springs guys like doing it all the time now too. It's just, it's really, really awesome. But, I just started, I've always been open. So if somebody starts talking to me, then I want to answer the question, but then it's like, I got to remind myself because, you know, I'm not much, but I'm all I think about sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to remind myself that, hey, start asking these questions, start asking questions to these people too and see what they're about. So I was kind of really cognizant, I think, at the beginning to just ask the guys, like, you know, what's going on in your life? What's happening? You know? And then let's unpack that. You know, you say those types of things, podcast, listen to a podcast. Let's unpack that. And then you start getting deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole with somebody. And next thing you know, you've got like a really strong friend because they may have shared something with you that like maybe their M doesn't even know, you know, and it's just like that they've got weight on them. You know, and it's the one-on-one moments that you get with somebody, you know. I remember, like rucking with bobsled and, him and I just hitting it off really, really quickly with each other. And that's why he passed the flag off to me was because he was just like, you know, I want you to have this thing. And, but he's, Yeah, he's just one of those dudes that I could unload my deepest, darkest stuff to that guy if I wanted to, and you know, he'd be right there, and you know, same vice versa. It's yeah, I'm not afraid to wear my heart on my sleeve with the F3 guys. I feel safe. I think that's maybe that's one of the most important things, is like the safety of it. Like, AA, when you're in those rooms, there's anonymity that you got. With F3, it just seems like we're all high impact men that go through a lot of stuff, and we're not afraid to share it with each other, because, you know, like I've heard a lot on this podcast alone, you know, it's like everybody's like, you didn't realize that guy's going through the same thing that you are, you know. May not be the loudest guy in the group, but he'll come over after and pat you in the back and be like, hey, I've been through this, you know.
Yeah.
it's okay on the other side. So
heck yeah. Sort of curious and maybe kind of assuming, but coffee and pre-runs seems like maybe where you found those one-on-one moments. Anywhere else you would encourage guys to kind of lean into those one-on-one moments that you found?
Yeah, that's pretty much my main thing. And then I found, like, right as I was leaving, you know, the East Side Sector guys getting together and just meeting up was pretty good too. Being involved in any of the big stuff that we do, like in the seesaw, you know, raising your hand and saying, hey, I want to do something here. Like, what can I do to help? And it's funny because, you know, you just got to say something. Like, you just got to say it. It is not that difficult. If you want to do something in F3, you just say, hey, I want to get more involved. Someone's going to hear you. The person that's like constantly involved will hear you and be like, right, come with me. And they'll
bring you to work.
You're going to get involved. I think that's all it comes down to is, yeah, show up to the special events. I think that's important too. You know, go do a triple Murph when you think you can't, you can only do one, you know, on Memorial Day. Like, go do those things. Go do those stupid things that, And then when you have all those guys together, it's really just, it's so special. There's very few things in this life that's like, it's free, and it's just so amazing. And the amount that you get out of it, you know, it is one of those things where you really do get what you put into it, you get back, you know, tenfold.
Yeah. What, you know, I would be curious, you know, when you think about like your recovery, and I don't know, for me, it's maybe more like mental health, but how do you see the fellowship piece, just having that safety and those guys you can tell anything to? How has that helped you along the way, along this journey?
It just gets it out, whatever it is. It just gets it out. I grew up in a house where, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, touchy feely, let's have that conversation. You know, my dad's a tough dude, you know, and like, he was just, you know, cram it all down and just persevere, go be a man. It's, you know, it's kind of like what it was, but I've realized now that it's like, being a man is it's completely different than what I thought it was as a little kid. You know, it's not how many trees can I chop down. It's, you know, how can I be vulnerable at the right time, in order to, let these wounds heal and help the next guy that's got that problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I do think the definition, or, you know, you hear a lot of like different definitions of what is it to be a man, or like toxic masculinity, or all of this stuff. And I think, the guys in F3 have definitely taught me what it means to really be a man and be, like you said, be vulnerable at the right times. One of the things when I was coming into F3, I started F3 before I got clean, so it was a little bit of a backward game.
Just flying around.
Yeah, you know, I my heart rate was in the 190s at those first couple workouts. But, you know, one of the things that I remember struggling with was thinking like, oh, these guys are normal. They won't accept me. So I kind of felt like at the beginning I was trying to live a double life. And then once I started opening up about that, it was like 100% support, no judgment, like just love. But I don't know, what was your experience as you kind of opened up to the guys about sort of your struggles with addiction and being in recovery?
It was, my, like, you know, my VQ is where I just laid it out on the line, at my COT. I just explained where I'm at in my life. You know, I had a little over a year and about a year and a half of sobriety at that point, and wasn't ashamed of it at all, you know? And, you know, so I was just like, I looked at it like this. If I had zero feeling that anybody would judge me on anything that I said. I think if anything, it was like, maybe my story could help the next person, or maybe that person has a kid that's going through something, or whatever. And like, that's how I always look at it, is just, I'm there to help the next person. It's not, yeah. And they are, they're just so supportive. Everybody's constantly supportive. It is such an interesting, little cult that we've got, you know, it's the healthiest cult that I can find. And, I'm fine with that. And I'm okay with that. I think it's really neat what we, what Omaha has grown, especially, you know, it's a really special place. I've been lucky enough to go around to other places and post over in Charlotte. And, what Omaha has is something that I got to take with me over here, that I get to take that little piece and hopefully can grow this thing out that I've got going on. But even when I was over there, like, I could have that conversation with those guys. You know, when I moved here and talked to the Colorado Springs guys and I said something about being sober, they're like, oh, this guy is too, or, you know, good for you. You know, it's like, everybody's just so supportive on whatever it is that we're trying to do.
Yeah.
It's really neat. So I believe every man needs it, but, you know, sometimes those sad clowns, it's hard to shake that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, the other piece, kind of think about fellowship and like the Concentrica, always love to kind of hear maybe how F3 has impacted your relationships at home, sort of maybe with your M or your 2.0s. Would love to just kind of hear if there's anything in that space.
Yeah. So I was never a morning person. Like, I would get up in the morning and I was just a bitch. Like, right from the second I would get out of bed, I'm just mean. I'm like, don't talk to me until I talk to you, you know, sort of thing. Yeah. And so now it's great because, like, I'm up at like 4:15. And, you know, it's like I get my stretches in a little bit, and then I get to go and do this great beat down. And then I come home and I'm like all spry and excited and like a lot happier than I used to be. And, you know, so that's different. And then trying to navigate that, with the wife, because she would always be like, I would make fun of her with all of her alarms that she's got. And I'm just like, you have like 40 alarms to wake up to. And like, I wake up to one, like, mm-hmm. That's what, yeah. What I do. She's just like, yeah, well, who wakes up in a better mood? And now it's kind of fun because like I'm all excited and I just kind of gauge her and see where she's at, you know? And yeah, tables have turned. And then with my 2.0, I got a little guy named Hank. He's 5. And I got to bring him to some of the 2.0 workouts. And so his name is Gravedigger. Nice. Monster trucks, which is a sweet name. So
that's a great name.
Yeah. And he like asked me all the time. He's like, Daddy, when are we going to another one of your workouts? I mean, so that's what I got to do out here is I want to get the other guys down in Colorado Springs and be like, when are we doing a Saturday around 9 o'clock in the morning? Like, when are we doing it? Because the 2.0 workouts that I've done that the guys held over at the pit and stuff, they just bangers, so much fun. And like the kids are getting fitness and you don't even know it. Mm-hmm. You know, so showing my kid, you know, that like Daddy does these fitness things, he stays in shape. He, you know, and my kid's very athletic. I was never a great athlete. Like I played sports growing up my entire life. I played rugby in college, but like not to any like super high level. I was never outstanding. I was just mediocre. Yeah. And this guy just got like a cannon of an arm. And, you know, I don't know if he's my kid, but when other people are just like, he throws really hard. It's like, yeah, and he's super accurate. Like, just showing him that, like, you know, Daddy does these things. And now that we live in the mountains and it's like just going for bike rides all the time and staying constantly active, you know, it's showing him that that's what he can do. You know, he can be like that his entire life. And, you know, that's my plan, is to stay in fitness as forever, you know. I don't want to get rickety and, you know, I was, some of the wheels are falling off a little bit, but you patch them back up and you get back out there.
Yeah. Well, and just, you know, I think it's so crucial to do, like bring them with you. You know, I've, you know, as we've added more kids to our flock here, it's the number of times I can post is less, but I'm constantly finding ways, like, can I bring them with? And maybe that means I don't go as far or as hard, but at least just getting them outside. There's something about being outside and in creation and just, soaking it in, you know, but I love that you're doing that.
Get him an electric bike, because that's what he has an electric bike, and we've got mountain bike trails all right here. So yeah. I jump on my bike, and I'm just huffing it up all this stuff, and he's just like zipping around and jumping stuff, and just tearing it up. And then I still get to get like a really aggressive workout, because I got to keep up with that little dude. And
that's a great idea.
Mountains. So yeah, it's been that's been a very fortunate thing to have.
Heck yeah. I want to get your thoughts too on something, because I have struggled sort of through the pandemic, right? I sort of fell out of my routine going to NA. And I know if you ask Slow Pitch, he'll say AA is the superior 12-step program, but I was an NA, an NA guy. Right, there's a lot of memes out there that Slow Pitch will send me about specifically, you know, here's what an AA guy says to an NA guy. But I sort of struggled and sort of fell off with NA during the pandemic. And so would just love your thoughts. Like, talk to me about the two fellowships and kind of how you balance the, you know, being engaged in both. I'd just love to hear that from you.
I can't forget where I came from. So like AA gave me this way of life. So I can't, you know, the AA way of life is what I have now. And that's just, I just keep going to meetings. They have a saying that says meeting makers make it. So I listen to old dudes, these old dudes talk, and yeah. I've always loved old people. Like anybody that's my elder. I grew up like with my dad. He would always take me everywhere before I was in kindergarten and stuff. I was always around older folks like my entire life. So I've always had like a lot of respect for him. And in AA, there's a lot of these old timers, and it's like, and I love the crotchier, the better, you know, like the more angry they are. It's like, I don't necessarily want what you've got, but like, you stayed sober this long. So how does it work? Like, how do you do it? And it's like, keep going to freaking meetings, you know? And so like, I do 90 and 90, and then I do 90 more. And it's like, okay, that's one way to do it. So that's where AA always had to fit into my life. When I moved out here, like one of the first things that I did within day two of being here was like find my meeting place. And I did. And then within 2 weeks, they made me a chair for the Monday meetings at noon. So they're like, you want a chair meeting? And I'm like, I'm here 2 weeks. They're like,
just got here. Yeah.
Yeah, you got this. So, and that's where F3 comes in, right? It's because like, it's leadership. You get thrusted into these leadership things. So I was like, cool. Yeah, no problem. I would be honored to chair that meeting. And then, and like I said before, it was like getting sober was super important, but then it was almost like a plateau of like, well, what's next? Like, what's that next thing? And that's where F3 came in at the perfect time for me to grip it and just be like, all right, let's go. I it's almost like you're involved in a sports team, but you're not. It's like that guy said, it's all about fellowship for me. It's all about like just being around good people all the time, as much as possible. You know, it put me in a good mood. Doesn't matter what kind of mood I'm in. If I show up to a beatdown, I'm probably going to be pretty happy at the end, giggling, laughing, and, you know, saying dumb things, maybe inappropriate. And it's just, having a good laugh with everybody, especially in cafeteria. But it's like, I think it's easy enough for me never to forget where I came from. The AA is the thing that got me, where I'm at. And, that's my foundation. And then everything else on top of that, it's how I can build my the F3 empire from there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if for me, because I started F3 first, that maybe that's like my mind is like backwards on that. I'm struggling, where did I come from? But I don't know.
Where do you find it's? But I melded the two together. I literally took like two of the guys in AA and was like, and you're part of this over here. Like, I just started thieving folk, you know, and it's kind of interesting too that when you go to like an AA function. Like I went to the big Cornhusker roundup. I go to an AA function and it's like, I see two, three dudes from F3 that I didn't know were sober. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, and they're like,
yeah.
Hey. And I'm like, I didn't know. And they're like, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know?
Yeah, right. It's like,
cool.
The second A. Yeah.
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 But yeah, so I there's a lot of overlap there, but it's like, I don't know, maybe it's just because I started to pull people from one area to the other and, I've yet to pull anybody from the F3 world over to this side. So, you're an interesting interesting cat that came in, just came in hot.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I am curious what, if you had this experience, but I think when I, you know, it's like in your addiction, you do so much destruction, right? And so then you're like, I remember just feeling like I'm a piece of crap, right? Like I, you know, and then you get into F3. And I remember like, I got to launch a site when I was only like 2-3 months clean. And so then it was just this like, Are you sure you guys trust me? Because nobody else in my life trusts me right now. But I don't know. Did you have any experience like that, or maybe not, just because of the timing between the two?
I created a lot of wreckage through my drinking. I think the hardest part was that was how much I hated myself before all of it, like inactive using and stuff like that. I was always depressed. I was always, and I was always just trying to mask it, you know, just drink and we can forget about it. Drink. I don't have to feel anything anymore. You know, I fought depression from like pretty much 16 on to when I got sober, just heavy bouts of depression and, you know, dark thoughts, just didn't want to be here anymore. Yeah. Hated myself so much. Tried to do things about it to not be here, and luckily failed attempts at that. But then AA taught me that I actually do like myself, you know? And then F3 taught me, hey, I actually love myself, you know? And so they go hand in hand, they go together. And it's like, I don't ever want to feel those shitty feelings again. Like I never want to feel like that again. I want to be able to look myself in the mirror. I couldn't do that. Like I couldn't even look myself in the freaking mirror towards those last days of just drinking. And when I did, it was just like, yeah, I'm a piece of shit. Like who would want to hang out with me? Who would want to be with me? I know exactly what you're saying. Like how you felt. No one's going to trust me with this. Like towards the end of my drinking, I got a promotion to like running this whole entire shop. And I'm like, what are you doing? Do you know who I am? I'm a complete train wreck. Like
right.
I'm half in the bag coming in here, man. Like
right. Yeah.
You know, the night before. And you want me to run this whole thing? But then it was like after quitting drinking, like all these positive things started happening for me. The promises that AA tell you like start happening and good things are going on. And it's like, you know, you guys work these steps and now I can not feel like a piece of trash. So I think it's just a really neat thing to be able to look in the mirror today and be like, hey. I got flaws. Who doesn't, you know? I'm okay with them. Like I've never been okay with my flaws. And it just seems to get better.
Yeah. And I think what I've learned too, is you have now a bunch of friends that are also okay with those flaws and love you too. You know, like I never imagined, right. Cause I was trying so hard to earn acceptance and belonging and by like being somebody that I wasn't. And so just being able to like have that validation that like, I don't need to change who I am to, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's mind blowing. You know, the other thing that I think is maybe, unique, but it's so like the F3 concept of a whetstone, right. Is something that just naturally in the AA setting, like you get a sponsor, right. And then you work with that person, you know, but talk us through that. Like if you were to maybe share with guys, like the value of having that type of relationship, like why should a guy go get a whetstone or a sponsor? What would you say there?
You got to have somebody that can, well, when it comes to AA, you got to have somebody that knows some deep, dark stuff about you. I think that like that right there just presents the trust. My first sponsor just passed away about a month ago. So oh, wow. I had to find somebody else. And, that first guy that I picked was just like, he was my dude. Like he got me sober, you know, between him and my higher power. And it's like, but I think there's something that happens. There's something that clicks over in the psyche. And when you share some heavy stuff with somebody, that there's a bond that gets created that's unbreakable. Because you're trusting them with it. And the dudes in F3, you can trust with that type of stuff. And you find somebody that's, I mean, it's probably going to happen way organically in F3, AA is more like they tell you, get yourself a sponsor, you know, yeah. have a sponsor. Yep. So when I lost mine, I knew I had to have somebody else, and I was trying to find the next person in line that I could pick. And, lo and behold, like my HP put somebody in front of me right here in town. And that was like, him and I clicked immediately. We're very similar. He's got like 30 years, you know, sobriety, and actually 29. Because when I got my sponsor, he had 29 years, my first sponsor. And I was like, I just pick people that have 29 years. Like, that's
the thing, yeah.
So, a lot of interesting parallels that are pretty rad. But it's, I think, you know, without that, though, I was starting to spiral. Like, without a sponsor here, I could talk to my guys in my, in Rule 62. I could talk to those guys about stuff. But there was something missing. And I don't know how to explain that piece of it. But like when I got this sponsor and he told me do X, Y, and Z, my life changed out here. I mean, it completely shifted because I wasn't depressed. I was just kind of like, okay, I just made this really big goal. Like, you know, this is a 5-year goal to move here. And then it happened. And then it's like, okay, we're here. And I'm a goal guy. So I'm like, now what? You know? And it's like, oh, just get your shit together. Like, that's what it is. Like, you just enjoy for a moment, you know, and like, make sure that you're making the right decisions and stuff like that. You know, working the steps that you need to. I think it's just somebody to call you out on your BS.
Yeah.
You know, hey, am I being mean to my wife? Am I in the wrong here? You know, because dudes in F3 will tell you if you're wrong.
Yeah.
People in AA, no problem telling you you're wrong,
right?
Because you're always wrong. That's the answer.
Right.
It's like, what's your part in it? Well, no, they got a problem. It's like, no, what's your part in it? And it's like, I'm not very friendly right now.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Super important.
I love it.
Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today. Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
Well, I also really appreciate you've mentioned, you kind of shared at the beginning, right? Sort of the AA definition, right? Of like finding something bigger than yourself, which is very similar, I think, to the sort of F3, you know, what we consider faith. And you've mentioned your higher power. Would love to just kind of hear you talk us through your journey from a third F perspective. What's that looked like over the years?
Yeah, it's interesting. I grew up Roman Catholic, and I was an altar boy and did the kneel, sit, stand, kneel, sit, all that repeat after me stuff. And then once I got confirmed and I was an adult in the parish, I told my mom, I'm an adult. I am no longer going to church. I'm done with this. You know, I wasn't agnostic or atheist or anything like that. I always had a feeling that there was something out there. Like I said in the beginning, you know, it's like, I've always felt that there's a God out there. And then now I realize that like, I truly believe there's a God out there and it's not me. And, you know, and I, going through the AA program, I ended up having one of those white light moments, where I was working through the steps and I got to a certain part in there and my sponsor told me to just, you know, spend an hour just getting to know your higher power, whatever it is, and just asking it, who are you? What are you? Who are you and what are you? Just for an hour straight, just asking and like listening and doing that type of stuff. And, you know, the woo-woo things that I'm kind of into, you know, I've always loved prayer and meditation. I've always loved meditation. I didn't really know what prayer was. So I had that moment one night where I just felt like this energy field like come around me, and it was like purples and blacks and greens and like a galaxy just like enveloping me in like this warmth of like love and compassion and me being able to forgive myself for like all the shitty things that I did in my life. And it was powerful. It was very powerful. I woke up the next morning different. Like I could feel noticeable difference in myself. And that was actually the day that I'm pretty confident that was the day that, the obsession of alcohol was actually removed from me. And, because I, could see it and not have a mouthwatering moment. You know, I could not worry about it. It could be, you know, a bottle of booze could be right there. And I'd be like, I don't care about that. Like, and it was like, and the first time I like noticed it, I was like, whoa, wait, I don't care about that. Why do I not care about that? And it was, I mean, the psychological change happened. And that's where I was like, okay, HP, you've been there the whole time. I call my higher power HP. I call him Big Dog too. That's, and, that's how I pray. That's how I pray to him is I say, hey, Big Dog, you know, it's Jay Brown down here. And, I find that the closer I stay to my higher power and the more conversations I have throughout the day, because I don't sit there and kneel down and pray and grovel to anything or whatever. And it doesn't matter how anybody prays. For me, I like it when I'm just driving in my car and have that moment and say, hey, HP, how you doing? You know, just wanted to say thank you, you know, a little prayer of gratitude. Thanks for giving me this day. And every night, you know, finishing off my night with gratitude, finishing it off starting it off in the morning with gratitude, and just, you know, having that conversation. And it's like, it's evolving. It's constantly evolving. I mean, you asked me a year ago what my higher power was like, and it's completely different than it is today. And that's a pretty neat thing. I'm just having it's like when you're getting to know a best friend, and you don't even realize that they're your best friend when you first meet them. And then as you start to progress on, you're just like, oh my God, this is like my ride or die person. Like this is the dude I call when I got to move, you know, they're going to help me pick up some boxes and, you know, and be there for me. It's really neat. And I'm excited about this faith journey, that I'm on right now. And I'm excited to like share with other people, because I've met some guys that, you know, maybe they don't feel the faith thing with F3 at the beginning, but how I talk about my higher power is like non-denominational. There's no religion really behind it. It just is. There's just some sort of thing that gives me a direction. And basically the direction is don't be a dick. Right. And as long as I can continue to do that, then I'm in a much better spot.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, I love like hearing you talk about your higher power. I love the relational aspect, right? Like it is, like you have a relationship with your higher power. It's not like a place you go on Sundays, right? Or like it's a thing you tap into multiple times a day, multiple times a week, that you're like constantly growing, just like a relationship would be. Like that's I just hope guys hear that. I also really love I think the simplicity of the questions that you kind of mentioned, of just like, who are you? What are you? But then also like this exercise of sitting in those questions to really like gain some clarity there. And I think regardless of being an AA or F3, or I think just anybody that's sort of struggling to figure out what faith is or what a higher power means to them, like I would hope they would hear that and just realize like it's accessible, right? It doesn't have to be how anyone else defines it. Like I really love that. That was probably one of my favorite things about NA that put a lot of things into perspective for me. You know, cause I didn't grow up going to church. I kind of started going to church in high school, and long story short, you know, through college ministry and stuff, you kind of think like, read these three little Bible verses and then you're converted to believe in Jesus, you know, but that's not how that works. You know, it takes time and it takes some intention. And I love, just hearing how you approach that. That's really, really cool. And I'm jealous of that white light moment. That sounds pretty amazing. Not everybody gets one of those, I don't think.
No, unfortunately they don't.
Talk me through, you know, I know you've got a young kiddo, kind of the other half, the third half, right? We talk about like community service, that type of thing. Have you been able to do much in that space, or what's that been like for you?
So when I was in Omaha, yeah, I would do like the free to bleed, whenever I could get out there. That was always fun. I love when you gamify like giving blood and trying to beat everybody out. Yeah. It's just the most ridiculous. Like when I walked in there, the first time I did it, I was like, do you guys like keep board or anything that with time? And they're like, yeah, of course we do. And I'm like, does everybody, they're like, yeah, you guys are ridiculous. Yeah. They're so awesome. Since I moved out here, you know, I launched a site. Here's the plug for Above the Clouds. We're the highest AO in the United States. So nice. Elevation-wise, cool. Yeah, that's right. we oversee Pikes Peak. It's absolutely gorgeous. If you want to find yourself at 8,481 feet and do a beat down Tuesdays at 5:30 right at Memorial Park in Woodland Park. That's where it's at. We had our first downranger that came in from St. Louis. So shout out to Mall Crawler. Yeah, talking to some of the guys, I've got one guy that's always there every Tuesday, that I met here. So, and then this other guy that's here when he can, he works, kind of far away, but he asked about the, about like donating time and what can we do and what am I thinking for the next steps? And I'm like, whoa, buddy, this is free to lead, my friend. Do you have something in mind that you want to do? Like, you want to give some time? Like, let me know. I'll get behind it 100%. You know, I need to talk to the Colorado Springs guys to figure out what that looks like. But, you know, we just started this a month ago out here. So I guarantee within the next few months we'll have something that'll come up that we can give back to this community, because it's a nice little town.
You wonder if your bleed time faster or slower at that altitude? I don't know. You'll have to figure that out.
We do have a hospital right here. I'm going to see if I can go in and donate some blood and see what happens.
Yeah.
They say that your blood changes and that you have more red blood cells when you live at elevation. For the lack of oxygen, you need more to carry however much oxygen you need. So,
I love it.
Maybe if you do double red, they'll just get so many red blood cells.
Right. Yeah. Well, talk us through. So the other piece, right, is our mission, right? Invigorating male community leadership. Talk us through sort of the leadership growth, and would love to hear, you know, as you did your VQ, you led a site, you launched a new site. What's that been like? And maybe what have you learned along the way?
It makes my job a lot easier. Because when you do your VQ, you're like kind of thrown to the wolves, and F3 guys are great because like we put so much pressure on ourselves of like, I've got to do really great. It's got to be like the best beatdown ever. And it's just got to be aggressive. And I got to do all these things. And it's like, when I did mine, it was just like, I need music. I need to do it to music. It's got to be great music. We're going to do these things and be interactive. And I mean, it was at Beverly Hills, And we cruised everywhere around Beverly Hills. I mean, we were just all over the place. Yeah, and it was super fun. And it was like, and it taught me that it's like, oh, this isn't that difficult. So you start doing these things that you think are hard, and you start leading from the front, and then you start thrusting yourself into these leadership positions, and it's just been it just gets easier. It just gets easier the more you do it, and then honing like leadership skills. And I own countless, I've read countless leadership books, but like, there's nothing that's going to teach you anything other than just doing it. Just go and do it. Like, put yourself into that position to say, hey, I'm going to run this, or I'm going to open up this site, or, you know, whatever it is at work that you want to take the initiative of. You go to your boss, you knock on the door, or, you jump on a Zoom with them, like a lot of us these days, and you say, hey, I want more responsibility, and this is why, and this is what I want to do, and this is the direction I want to take it. And then you wait, you know, and if they don't respect that or they don't want that, then guess what? There's going to be an employer out there that wants that.
Yeah.
They're going to be looking for you. So
I would love to hear any of my team members come to me and say that.
Can you imagine that? Hey, I want more responsibility. Right.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I'm not hearing anybody say that. Yeah. Yep. Heck yeah. What about, you know, as you think about your time and some of the leadership skills, any advice for guys that are maybe leading a site? I think I hear some advice there, right? Like, step out, do it, ask for the opportunities. But anything else come to mind as you're thinking about guys that are site cues now?
Yeah. Explore your studio space. Go far away. Go to other sites and then just pull the phone out and put it in front of them and say, hey, look, this is Brickyard. The name's not on here. It should be. And that's it. That's how I would do it to people. And it was funny, you know, you're just like, I just go to these view downs, just slide my phone in front of them. Everybody knows what PaxNet looks like. So it's just like, they're like,
you did that at the shovel pass when you got the flag. I remember. Yeah. I think that's how you got me.
Yeah, with everybody. Yeah. That's like the best place to do it. At the shovel pass, you can probably get like 2-3 months full right there. Polaroid was like the king at it. He was super good at just like going somewhere and just making, he would just put people's names on there, I think. But it was, Yeah, that's my advice is like go explore your student base. Get out of if you're in the youth sector, like get out to the West as much as you can. Get out to Sarpy, go see those guys because it's amazing. They want it too. They want to come to other places. It's like what I did to Lot Lizard was, you know, I started going out to other places and he was like, and then all of a sudden he started coming over to the East. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, hey, you inspired me to come over here. And I'm like, it brought a tear to my eye. I was so happy. I was like, this means a lot, man. Like, and that's what you do for each other, you know, in this group. It's just amazing.
Well, this has been awesome. And I really appreciate your vulnerability and just the man that you are. It's so cool. I'm excited to kind of see from afar. If I'm in Colorado, you've enticed me. The Above the Clouds AO sounds like one that you've got to check out. But what would there be anything else that maybe we didn't cover? Any sort of words of wisdom or lessons learned that you would want guys to hear?
I think one of the best things that I've learned is that like is being in gratitude on stuff and like starting my day off with gratitude and ending my day with gratitude. Yeah. No matter how like rough of a day that I had, like there's some sort of psychological thing that like when you're in gratitude, you can't be angry. And I dealt with a lot of anger issues in my life. So, you know, just taking my time to do a true, honest gratitude list and then sending it out to my buddies that I've got. You know, if you got a shield lock or if you don't have a shield lock, it's amazing what can happen if you just send a gratitude list to one of the guys in F3, see what happens. Just keep sending it to him every single morning, see what happens. You're probably going to get something back that says, well, I'm grateful for this today. You know, this hot dog was awesome. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just like, I think living in gratitude is really helpful.
Heck yeah. I love it. That's solid advice. I'm going to try to do that. I kind of where we like to land too is just current state, right? Obviously you've moved, how long have you been out there now? 6 months?
3 months.
3 months. Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you currently need prayers, support, encouragement?
For the sad clowns that are here in Woodland Park and in the surrounding areas that they can find us. I just put an ad inside of our local paper here and I just saw it today. I opened it up and it's right there. And I'm like, oh, showed my wife, we're walking the dogs, like, check it out, it's in there. So, you know, and we pray for that every time that we do a beat down. We've been doing Monday Murphs. So like that elevation is different. And then Fridays we try to do maybe a pop-up or something like that, or I go down to the Springs, but it's like, just try to find these people, you know, drum up and let them know what this is, because there's a lot of ex-military people that are out here. A lot of ex-special forces guys. And if there's one thing I know about them is there, you can find a lot of sad clowns in some of that group because they miss the camaraderie. They miss the fellowship that they used to have in their squads, platoons, whatever they were in. And, you know, they can have that again, you know, with these beatdowns. So that's what we're trying to find. So if you guys want to send some prayers out for them to find us, and that'd be outstanding.
I love it, man. Well, thank you again so much for just your time and just for who you are. I love your story. I know other guys will love hearing it too. So we'll do a little Nemo to end us. I'll start us off here. Brandon Fleaharty, 39, The Plague.
The Plague. Jay Brown, 41, Julep.
Julep. Yeah. I love it, man. Thank you so much. This has been great.
My pleasure. Thank you.